Today's daf is Megillah daf Tes Zayin, and we are 18 lines from the bottom of daf Tes Vav Amid Beis, Yavai HaMelech V'Haman Elam Mishta. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Chaim Aaron ben Fega, Tamar bas Chasida from Arifka, Elio Zev ben Brindel, Mordechai Yisrael ben Esther, Chaim Gavriel ben Esther Chaya, Miriam bas Chaya, Chaim ben Shendel, Chana Rivka bas Frey, the Menachem Mendel ben Rachel Mendel, Yaakov Aaron Tzvi, ben Yuta Gittel bas Chaya, Sarah Nechama bas Rus Malka, Nasan Yosef ben Yehudis, Gedal Yeliezer ben Roiza, Chaya Nechama Ila bas Sarah, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Moshe ben Sarah, Sarah Shainza bas Yittel, Elio ben Silla, Etel bas Hendela, Henneperel bas Yecheved, Fega Liba bas Chava, Rafal Kahas ben Fega, and Baruch ben Rachel. Today's daf is also being learned for Eloi Nishmas, Doiv Beryl ben Reb Yaakov David. So the Gemara is in the middle of the Purim story. Specifically, we're at the point where Esther, after fasting for 3 days, has an audience in front of Ahasuerus. And this time it was different, because up until that point, every time Esther would appear in front of Ahasuerus, it would happen ba'oinus. Esther knew that really she wasn't allowed to be with Ahasuerus. As a result, when she was forced to come, she would go. But otherwise, she stayed away. But this time she went, kasher loibidas. And as she said, kasher avadati avadati. Either way, she now has this opportunity to ask Ahasuerus what it is she wants, and what is it that she wants. It says the pasuk, she tells Ahasuerus that my request is Yavai HaMelech V'Haman El Hamishta. I would like you and Haman to come to a party that I am going to prepare. Haman and Ahasuerus go to the party, and at the party, Ahasuerus says to Esther, okay, now you wanted this party probably for a reason. What would you like? So she says, what I would like is that tomorrow I'm going to make another party, and at that second party, I'd like you to show up again together with Haman, and then I'm going to tell you everything that I'm thinking. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana, Ma Rasa Esther Shezimna Es Haman. Why was it that Esther wanted to make this party? Meaning it seems that the party is this major stepping stool in terms of ultimately coming to the Yeshua. And Esther, when she strategized with her ishtadlos, how she was going to bring this Yeshua, she felt it was going to happen through a party. And the Gemara wonders out loud, why was it a party? And clearly, as we're going to see, there was no very definitive Messiah as to why it was Esther wanted a party. In fact, if you count, the Gemara is going to give 12 different possibilities as to why it was that Esther's request was Yavai HaMelech V'Haman El Amishta. Says the Gemara, number one, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer. Rabbi Eliezer is the first Tan in Jas. Rabbi Eliezer is the first of the 12 Tanam and Amiram that are mentioned in our Gemara. So he said, Pachim Tom Nolai. The reason is because she wanted to set a trap for Haman. Remember, there's a pasuk that says Yehid Shulchanam Lefneim Lefach. This is a pasuk in Tehillim, and there seemed to be a Messiah that if you want to trap a Rasha, if you're going after somebody, the way to set them up is through food. This was the Messiah that Esther had, and as a result, she felt, let it happen through the Shulchan. Incidentally, in the raid, we've been talking about the connection between the Shulchan and the Purim story, the Rakeach, that says that in Parshas Emor, after the Parsha of the Mayadim, we have the Parsha of the Menorah, and then we have the Parsha of the Lechem Aponim. And he says, because there are two Yomim Toivim that are not mentioned in the Torah explicitly, simply because they're rabbinic in nature, but they're merumas in those two mitzvahs. You have the mitzvah of Chanukah, which was merumas in the Menorah, that's easy, and you have the mitzvah of Purim, which is merumis in the Lechem Aponim, which is merumis in the Shulchan. We spoke out the epic Chsam Sofer, based on what the Malachi Asharis was saying in Shemayim, when Memuchan's name was called at the beginning of the Purim story. But here too, the Shulchan is somehow playing a role. Said Rabbi Eliezer that Esther felt that through the Shulchan, that's how she was going to able to take down Haman. Rabbi Shua said, "Mi base of Violamda." She learned it literally from her father's house. But if you look at Rashi says, "Shama hatinoikis oimrim kain." She heard the children saying this. So she heard the children say the following: "Shenamar imroiv sanacho." If your soine, your enemy, is hungry, hachileu lechem. Again, the idea of a Shulchan: give him bread, and by giving him bread, that's going to be your way of the feeding him. Rameya said, Kadesh will eat the late of Yemrai. What happened was Esther started getting worried that maybe Haman's going to take it to another level. Meaning, right now, Haman seems to be satisfied by being the Mishnah Lamelech. But at the same time, Haman is hot, and as a result, he may want to double down a little bit. And he may decide that he's going to put together a rebellion, overthrow Achashverosh, and at that point, Esther's really going to be in trouble. So Shalayitol, Eitz of Yimroit, she felt, I just have to do something very quickly. Doesn't explain so much why it was a mishta, why it was a suda, but at the same time, it does explain the sense of urgency. Rabbi Yehuda said, Kadei Shalayakiruba Shehi Yehudas. She was always a little bit paranoid that maybe at some point, her cover's going to be blown, and people are going to find out she's really a Jew. So whatever she was going to do, she was going to have to do before that happened. Again, it explains the urgency. Rav Nechemia said, "Kidei shelo yomer Yisrael." She was afraid that the Yidden are going to say, "Achis lanu yesh the Beis Hamelach." That you know we have a sister in the king's palace, and as a result, the yasichu daitam and arachavim, they're not going to feel that they have to daven. So right now, the Yidden, they had just fasted for 3 days; they're davening now. So let's go now and try to pile the Yeshua, because at some point maybe they're going to calm down. But it's a fascinating idea that she's worried that because she literally has a seat at the table, that maybe the Yidden are going to be complacent, and they're going to feel that they don't have to really work hard on their end, because Achis Yesh Lanu Beveis HaMelech V'Yosichu Daita Min Arachamim. Traditionally, we would think that if the Yidden would have an insider that has this kind of access, it would be a very good thing. And of course it is. The whole Purim Yeshua came about through that. But at the same time, Esther felt that's only good if the Yidden do what they're supposed to do. But if they're Masiach Das from Torah and from Tefillah and everything that they have to do, then it could actually be a bad thing. So right now, the Yidden are fasting. Right now, they're doing tshuva. Vayizak zokel gedoylu mar. Now's the time to do something. Rabbi Yosef, kedei shehi matzula b'chales. Yossi said that the reason she made a party is because she was going to ask Achashverosh what it was she was going to ask. And of course, it was going to involve somehow. She was hoping that Me'ashem Ma'ana Lashin, this was going to come out the right way. But the point is, it was going to be to take down Haman. So it would be very opportune for Haman to be present. So like this, Haman's there. She's going to tell Achashverosh, he's the person that I want you to take care of. Well, if Haman's there, then it's going to make it much easier. The reason she made a party specifically and invited Haman is because she wanted HaKadosh Baruch Hu to realize what this has gotten to. That the situation is so bad that she literally has to invite Haman to a party in order to bring the Yeshua. She thought that that would invoke Rachim. She wanted Achashverosh to start getting a little worried, a little paranoid. What's going on here? I'm the king. So she's inviting me to her party. This is the Mishta Esther, and she's inviting Haman as well. She was hoping that Achashverosh would be choshed, that maybe Esther is being mezana with Haman. If that would happen, Achashverosh would kill Haman. And by the way, he would kill Esther too. But she was fine with that. She was willing to allow herself to get killed if it meant to also kill Haman. Thomas Nafshi and Plishtin, like Shimshon HaGibor famously said. Like this would get rid of the threat. Rabbi Gamliel Leimer, Melech HaFafklan Hava. She knew that Achashverosh was a flip-flopper, and she could tell Achashverosh, I want you to take down Haman, and he'll be 100% motivated to do it. But then, after the Suda, maybe he'll speak to one of his advisors, and his advisor would tell him something else, and maybe he would back out. So as a result, it was a good idea to have everybody present at the same time. Rabbi Gamliel heard all this, and he said, after all the reasons I just heard, I still think we have to come on to the Maidoi. The time that we learned to the Rice, Rabbi Eliezer HaMaidoi Omer, Kinasei Bamelech, Kinasei Besar. The reason she was doing this was because she wanted the king to become jealous of Haman. Imagine, the king sometimes is jealous even of the Mishnah Lamelech, but she certainly wanted the Sarim to be jealous of Haman. She was setting the stage for Haman's downfall. And the first thing she needed was that emotionally everybody should turn on Haman a little bit. And how do you make people turn? Kina Taiva covered Maitzianus Adam and Oilam. And Haman's popularity would go down dramatically as soon as there was some real kina. And with all the covet that Haman had, apparently they didn't feel there was enough kin amongst the Sarah. So now she's going to go, and she's going to invite Achashverosh and Haman. This is already taking it to a whole nother level. That would certainly create kinnah, and that would allow her to do what she needed to do. But we're not finished. Rabba Omar, Rabba said, up until this point, so all the pshatim that we had were from the Tanon. Now the Gemara says, the Amiram also said a pshat. Rabba said it's based on a pasuk that says, lifnei shever ga'oin. This is a pasuk in Mishlei, that before a person falls, ga'oin, he reaches a certain level of greatness. So she figured, let me give Haman the ga'oin, so like this, afterwards, it will make it maybe a little bit more seamless that the Shever is going to come. Rav the world said, the pasuk says, Bechuman Oshis Es Mishteim. So it's a little bit of a long Rashi. Rashi says, a little bit long, that Balshetzar, before he was taken down, he had a big meal. So Balshetzar wins a war, eats a big suda, and then the next thing you know, he gets taken down. So what preempted his downfall? It was a suda. It was a mishta. So therefore, Esther felt there's a precedent that maybe this is the way Rishon go down. So again, if you do the math, 12 different pshatim as to why it is that Esther makes a suda, specifically why she makes it now, why she invites Haman, as the Gemara, as a postscript, Ashkechei, Rabbi Baravu Eliyahu, Rabbi Ravu met Eliyahu Anavi, Amalei, so he told Eliyahu Anavi, Keman Chazya Esther Va'avda Hachi, tell me, I heard a whole bunch of different pshatim, which is the real pshat, says the Gemara, Amalei, told him, Kechulu Tanoi, Ukechulu Amayra, they're all true, Elu Ve'elu, Divrei Elikim Chayim, all the different pshatim that the Tanoim gave, and the pshatim that the Amayram gave, they were all part of the Cheshbon, meaning Esther didn't just have one reason that she did it the way she did it. She actually had 12 reasons, and all of the aforementioned reasons are included. Incidentally, this Gemara, I think, brings out, it highlights a kasha that we speak about a lot, and that is the Chidos kasha. The Chidah asks the kasha, Masechtas Menachos, Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. We know that Teiku is an acronym for Tishbi Yitaretz Kushyos V'Ibayos. And the truth is, this acronym has a Mesorah. It's hundreds of years old, and Chazal said that wherever it says teiku in the Gemara, literally it means teiku, let it stand. But there's a hidden meaning, and that is Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi. One day he's going to come, and he's going to be metaretz all the kushyos v'ibayos. So the Chidah asks that we know that Amiroim had Gilui Eliyahu. There's different Gemaras that would seem to suggest that. So Frek, the Chidah, if the Amiram had Gilui Eliyahu, so why didn't they ask Eliyahu Hanavi all the teikus? There's many teikus in Shas. They should have sat down, opened up Gemaras, and start going through all the kashas that the Gemara leaves as a teiku, and asked Eliyahu Hanavi. And the Chidah says a whole teretz, that there's different levels of Eliyahu, they're not all the same. It could be not every time Eliyahu Hanavi appeared to an Amira, was he Bekoyach, was he capable of actually answering all these questions? But this Gemara here is an example that sometimes Eliyahu Navi was. Because Ashkeche Rabbi Baravul Eliyahu, Amalei, what did he do? We asked him a kasha in learning. Now, it wasn't a teiku, quote unquote, but it's certainly May Indian le Indian, but Isa Indian, he asked them, I know a Gemara, with this Tanoim from Rabbi Eliezer all the way down to Abaye Verava, where they're all saying different pshatim as to why it was Esther did what she did. Can you give me an answer? And by the way, Eliyahu Navi gave an answer. So here would be the question. Let's ask it right here. So why didn't Rabbi Baravu ask Eliyahu Navi? By the way, you know what? I have another kasha. In the beginning of Perek Elo Metzias, there's a teiku. And in Yavam Estav so-and-so, there's a teiku. And in Ksuba somewhere else, there's a teiku. And start going through all the different teikus. Definitely a ha'ara. Zakta Gemara Vayit Vayisapalem Haman Eskvayit Ashray the Roiv Banav. So we're talking about where Haman is talking about all his wealth and all his children. The Roiv Banav. It sounds like he had a lot of sons. Says the Gemara, V'kama Roiv Banav, how many sons is a lot? Amar Rav. Rav said, Lamed, 30. Asara Mesu, 10 of them died, natural causes. V'asara Nitlu, 10 of them were hung. V'asara Mechazran Alapsachim, and 10 of them lost their money, and as a result, they had to knock on people's doors, literally, to have food to eat. Rabbanan Amid Rabbanan say, Oysen Shemechazon al Psachim Shivim Hava. No, you want to know how many sons Haman had that were knocking on doors? 70. The Chsiv, the Pasuk says, Sveyem Balechem Niskaru. People that previously had been Sveyem Balechem, they were satisfied with bread. Now Niskaru, they had to hire themselves in order to be able to eat. Says the Gemara, Tikri Sveyem, don't read the word Sveyem with a sin. Ela Shivim 70. So Shivim Balechem Niskaru. There were 70 sons that in the past had been very well fed in Haman's house with all his godless and all his Ashiras, but ultimately Balechem Niskaru. Rami Barabba said, Kulon Masayim Ushmayna Havani. You want to know how many sons Haman had? He had 208 sons. Shenema the Pasuk says Veroyv Banov, and because of the word Veroyv Banov, that's a, you know, it's 208. So what's the Cheshbon? The Cheshbon is the word Veroyv is Begematria
208. Right, the Gemara, it's not true. The Rav is Begematria, Masim Barbesa, Hava. 214. Vav is 6. Reish is 200. That's 206. Plus another Vav is 6. That's 212. Plus the Vez is 2. So it's 214. Amar Nachum Yitzchak. So Nachum Yitzchak said, Verov Ksiv. It says, Verov Banov Chaser. It's pronounced Mole. But the Yesh Eim Lemesiris is Verov Vav Reish Vav. Vez. Vav Reish Vez is 208. Says the Gemara, Rami Bar Abba said, you want to know how many sons Haman had? He had 208 sons. The Chassam Sofer, in one of his drashas on Purim, says a Davar Nifla. He said, what did Haman do to be Zoicha, to have 208 sons? Haman, said the Chassam Sofer, was a descendant of Esav. Esav was Yitzchak's son. The Pasuk says, Vayehav Yitzchak is Esav. Yitzchak loved Esav. And the Ahava that Yitzchak had for Esav caused Esav to have bracha. What was the bracha? 208 sons. Why 208? Says the Chassam Sofer, because the gematria of Yitzchak is 208, and because Yitzchak's 208, and Yitzchak was Vayehav es Esav, the Ahava that Yitzchak had towards Esav, that in and of itself brought tremendous bracha. And the bracha was that Esav would have an enekel whose name was Haman, who would have the Rav Ban of 208 sons, which is Bidyuk, the gematria of Yitzchak. Says the Gemara, Balailahu. So Pashin means Balailu Nada Shnas HaMelech. King Achashvesh wasn't able to sing. But the Gemara says, Rav Tanchum said that HaMelech here doesn't mean HaMelech Achashverosh, but rather it means Malkoy Shalom. The truth is, the Sfarim say that every single time it says Melech in the Megillah, it means, of course, Achashverosh, but it also means in Pnimius the Melech Shalom. But in this particular pasuk, the Gemara darshins it, and the Gemara says, what does it mean, Nada Dashnasa Melech? It means the king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, couldn't sleep that night. This was something that bothered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way the events were playing out. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say, Nada Du Al Yoinim, Nada Tu Tachtoinim. That what happened was, the Malachim, the Al Yoinim, they were awake, and as a result, they were awakening the Tachtoinim, they were awakening Achashverosh. Rava says, similarly, Shnasa Melech Achashverosh Mamas. No, this has nothing to do with Al Yoinim, it has nothing to do with Malkish Aloylam, but Balaila, who Nada the Doshnasa Melech says Rava means Melech Achashverosh. What happened? All of a sudden, Achashverosh is lying down, and suddenly this thought pops into his head. He said, "Amen, why did come on this? I'm into Esther Lahaman. Why did Esther invite Haman?" And by the way, part of the idea we saw previously that Esther invited Haman was because she wanted Achashverosh to be twisting and turning in the middle of the night, trying to figure out what exactly is going on. So Achashverosh thinks to himself, maybe they're planning to kill me. But then he said to himself, I must have somebody out there someplace that likes me enough that would give me the inside scoop, that would tell me what was going on. But then he said, we're literally going through his whole thought process. Maybe there's somebody that once did me a favor, and I didn't pay it, and maybe the word is out that I don't pay up my chayvus, and that's why nobody wants to tell me. Fascinating. Miyad immediately. So he calls his gabba and he says, I want you to bring me the divrei hayamim, bring me the seifas achronos. I want to see if there's any person that I owe a favor to, because I'm starting to get paranoid that maybe this is the reason I'm in trouble right now. So the pasuk says they went and they brought the seifas achronos. Vayiu nikroim. The Gemara says the Lashon Vayu Nikram is a little interesting. What it should have said was Vayu Kairin. Somebody was reading it. Melamit Shenikram Meileyan. And Pasha, what this means is that whoever's job it was to read before Achashverosh, so he's reading through the Sefer HaZachronos. Achashverosh is lying down and he keeps on skipping over this paragraph because he doesn't want to read it. But what happened was it was meant for it to be read, and it was Nikram Meileyan. It was forced upon this person to read it simply because Achashverosh had to hear it. Vayimotse Kosov. And they found that it had been written. So the Gemara says, Kosav mi boyalei. So again, this is diktok. Kosav sounds like it's being written now. Kosav would mean it was written in the past. This was written in the past. Why does it say Kosav? Malami, this comes to teach us, Shimshi moichek v'kavrio koisev. So Rashi, on the top of the Amud, gives us a little bit of a history course of exactly who Shimshi was. But Shimshi is an infamous scribe who appears in a few different places in Tanakh. In this context, he's there and he's quickly erasing this. He doesn't want Achashverosh to hear that he owes a favor to Mardukhai, because he's afraid about how this is going to play out. But what happened was Gavriel was there, and Gavriel was Kaisim. It's interesting, this is the second time that Gavriel appears in the Gemara here in the Purim story. The Gemara says that when Achashverosh called Vashti to appear, so Vashti didn't want to come. Why not? So the Gemara said, two pshatim. One pshat was parcha batzaras, because all of a sudden she broke out in tzaras. But the Gemara brought a braisna that said, bo Gavriel, the Malach came, here it's Gavriel again. Shimshi was Moichek, and Gavriel was Koisev. So you have to know why Gavriel, from all the Malachim, is so connected to the Purim story. Rav Asi said, Darush Rav Shele Ishkvar Tamarto. Ksav Shalamat Shalashusim Shalishol Ene Nimchak. Ksav Shalamaylam Lakoshkin. That you see that if there's a Ksav Shalamat, if something's written on this world, if it's Lashusim Shalishol Ene Nimchak, it never gets erased. Like Havachimer, if there's something written in Shamayim, where you would think naturally things don't get erased. Certainly, if it's l'schus and shal Yisrael, like Koshkein, it's there to stay. Says the Gemara, so the person who was just asked to read the Sefer HaZachonis from Achashverosh, he reads the Achashverosh and he tells him the whole story with Bixam Besarish. So Achashverosh says, no, did we do anything to this person? So they said, no. Lo nasa imay davar. Amar Rava said, lo mipnei she'oyav enas Mordechai. The reason they even said this wasn't because they liked Mordechai, meaning this is now going to set Mordechai on fast track. So on some level, right, even though the Gemara says it's being forced and it's happening, Baal Karchach, but the Gemara's Ravas held that the person that read it at the end of the day. And why did he do it? Not because he had a little bit of a habit towards Mordechai, because he didn't like Haman. Again, this was Esther's idea. She wanted to create kinna, which is mevia lidei sinna, the way it always is. And they were soinim as Haman. The kinna led to sinna. And that was the whole point. The Gemara says that they told they told Achashverosh that Haman had prepared an eight. It was Heichen Loi Tana Loi Heichen. Heichen Loi sounds like he prepared it for Mordechai. Loi Heichen, he actually had prepared it for himself. So the Gemara is now going to skip a little bit. As this is all happening, Haman enters Achashverosh's inner chamber. And Achashverosh turns to Haman and he tells him, tell me, I have a question. What should I do for a person that I feel I owe a tremendous favor to? So Haman hears this. Who would the king want to do something very special? I mean, everything right now is Haman. So there's no question in the world he means him. So Haman tells the king, this is what I would do. Here's the guy. You should bring him the royal garb. Something that the king wore. I mean, literally, given the king's crown. So Haman is glowing, he's beaming, he's literally making his own nishta. And as he finishes, Vayemer Melech Lahaman. So the king tells Haman, Maher, quickly, Kachas alavush vasasus kashedi barto, vasnikein lemordchai ha-Yehudi, ha-Yoyshe b'shar ha-Melech, al-tapel dover, mikol ha-shedi barto, do everything that you just said. Vayikach Haman alavush. Next pasuk, king told him, Maher, he wasn't playing games. So in the very next pasuk, Haman takes the lavush vasasus, vayalbish es mordchai, vayerkiveo b'choy vo'ir, vayikro lefonov, kocho yeyosel l'ish, asher ha-Melech chofitz b'gar. And then things start happening really, really quickly. So the Gemara now is going to describe, we're on the final stretch here, this last part of the story. Says the Gemara, Vasei kein l'mordchai, amalei. So Haman says, Mordechai? Tell me, Manu Mordechai. I mean, the name rings a bell, but who exactly is Mordechai? Amalei ha-Yehudi. What do you mean? Mordechai the Jew. Amalei, tuva Mordechai. Oh, you mean the Jew? Oh, Mordechai ha-Yehudi? There's a lot of Jews whose name is Mordechai. Amalei, no, ha-Yosh b'shar ha-Melech. The one that's b'shar ha-Melech. The one that's not in Shushan, right? The one that's in Shushan Abira. Amalei, so he told him, Sagile, oh, that's who you're giving it to? I take this back. One second. This is a whole different deal. This is what I would do. I would give him Chad Eskarta, give him one village, Inami Chad Nahara. Give him one river, Rashi says, he'll be able to collect tolls, it's good cash flow. If you want to give him something, that's what you should give him. Don't give him this whole geshef. Amalei, so the king says, you know something? Thank you for reminding me. Hanami Yavle. Give him that also. And that's what he meant. Al tapel dove mikol asher dibarta. Everything you said, even the last thing that you said, I want you to give him. Says the pasuk, Vayika chamen es alavush vasasos. Also, ashkechid yasbi rabbanu kameh. So now he has to go hunt down Mardechai. Says the Gemara, he comes to Mardechai. What was Mardechai doing? Umachvile hilchis kmitzel rabbanu. He was learning kachim. He was learning mesachtes menaches. Specifically, he was learning the laws of kmitza. So Rashi says, why was he learning kachim? What's the pshat? Says Rashi, three lines from the top. He was learning in Yana de Yoyma. Because Veshisha Asa Benisan Haya. This was the 16th day of Nisan. Yudalit, Tetzvav, and Tezayin. This was the third day. Yoyim Tenufasa Oymer. And what happened Bizman Shabes Amikdash Ayakayim? On Tezayin Nisan, they would bring the carbon Oymer. So he was learning in Yana de Yoyma, Unashalma Parim Svaseinu. It's as if they're bringing a carbon Oymer. So Mordechai is literally sitting with the Talmidim, and he's in the middle of learning the sugyas of kmitza. Given the chazim Mordechai the kivle, as soon as he saw that Mordechai was coming towards, that Haman was coming towards, and v'susei mecha b'yad emirtis, he got very, very scared. Amalu Rabbanu, he told the Rabbanu, this is very interesting. Hay Rishil Mikdal Nafshi Kasi. This rush is coming to kill me. Zilu mikame to like tichfu begachat. There's no reason you should have to die also. Mi memelo. There's no reason. Run. Run for your life. Just get away from here. Because otherwise, he may kill you as well. So Mordechai stops learning, which is also interesting. He puts on his talis and he davens. And this is also matim with the idea that we've mentioned already a few times, that tefillah plays a very, very critical role in the whole Purim story. Right? Mordechai is Ben Yair, Sheherei Neim Shei Yisrael, but tefillah Ben Shimi, that Hashem listened to the tefillahs, Ben Kish, he knocked on the Shari Rachim. So what does Mordechai do? He davens. So Haman comes, and he's standing in front of Mordechai, the Oirich, and he waited at the Solik Mordechai Letzloise until Mordechai finished davening. Amalohu. So he told him, B'mayos Kisu, tell me, what were you just doing? Amrulebis, Manchemes Mikdash Hayakayim. He said, Haman, you know, once upon a time we had a Beis HaMikdash, we had a holy temple. And when there was a holy temple, Mandem and Adiv Mincha, any person that wanted to donate a Mincha, even the poorest person in the world, that couldn't afford to bring a proper animal, he couldn't even afford to buy a bird and give that as a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All he can afford was a little bit of flour. Maisi Meloi Kumtzei DeSalta. He would take literally a palm full of flour, umeschapele, and that would give him kapara. That's what I'm doing. I'm studying those laws. I can't actually bring that carbon, but at the same time, we can study it. Amar lohu. So Haman told him, Asu Meloi Kumtza Kimcha Detru. Your Meloi Kumtza came, V'dochi Asara Alfe Kikre Kaspa Didi. I gave 10,000 Kikre Kaspa to the king. Your little bit of Kmitza was more powerful than everything that I did. Amale, so Mordechai told him, Rasha, Evet Shekana, Nechasim, Evet Lemio Nechasim. He says, Haman, you keep on forgetting that we have a little bit of an arrangement and I actually own you, quote unquote, and as a result, all your money is really my money. But as an aside, says the Gemara, Amale, Tum Levesh, Hani Mani Rechev Haisusya. So Haman turns to Mordechai and he says, listen, I know you're not expecting this, but really, I'm not here to hurt you. As a matter of fact, I'm here to reward you. This lavush that I have is meant for you. You're supposed to wear this, and you're supposed to ride on the king's horse. The Baruch HaKmalka, the king wants you. Amalei. So Mordechai told him, Lo Yachilna, I can't. I first have to bathe myself. I have to go cut my hair. Then afterwards, I'll be able to do it. Because it would be improper, inappropriate for me. I've been fasting. I've been in a very, very bad, desperate state over the last little while, and it's certainly not befitting for me the way I look right now to put on the royal garb. Shadra Esther. So the Gemara says that Esther was in on this, and she went, and she made sure that all the bathhouses and all the barber shops, they would all be closed. So Haman had no choice, but he had to bathe, and he literally had to shave Mordechai by himself. And the Gemara, right, makes this like very, very specific. He went home, got a scissor, the Kashakole Mazia. And he started cutting his hair. As he was cutting him, so Haman starts krechtzing. Amalei, am I coming snachis? Haman, was krechtzte? Amalei, so he told him, Gavra da havas choshele lemalkum, ikulu rav ravanoi. He says, a person that was where I just was, hashtel l'shavi balani v'saper, this is what I've come to, I'm bathing you, and I have no choice, I have to cut you here. Amalei, rosha v'laf saper shol kvar kaitzom ha'yisa. Come on, you're good at this. This is your past. You used to be a saper, you used to be a barber, you're good at this. Tana, says the Gemara, went to the Brisa.
Haman sapish al kvar kartzim hayo esrim v'shtayin shana. 22 years Haman was the saper in kvar kartzim. Truth is, this number 22 comes up in a whole bunch of different places in Shas, but not for now. Says the Gemara. Basa de shaklin olamazir lo v'shinomar. After he went ahead and he cut his hair, so he put on the royal clothing. Amalei told him sak v'rachiv. He says, go on top of the king's horse and ride it. Amalei lo yachilnu. I can't get up on top of the horse by myself. I need a little step. The kisha chela mi meitanisa, because again, I'm very weak from all this fasting. Gochin v'sal, the Haman had no choice. So he bent down, and Mordechai steps on Haman, and like this, he was able to get on top of the horse. Kisalik, as Mordechai was getting on top of the horse, barpe. So for good measure, he kicked Haman. Amalei told him, Mordechai, that's not nice. Like Sivlechu, doesn't it say, ben foiloi vecha al tismach? It's amazing. Haman is azar rosh, azar oisfarf, and he can't handle a little sense of humor. So he says, ben foiloi vecha, literally, al tismach, right? Amalei, so he told him, hani mili bi Yisrael. That's only true when it comes to Jews. Aval bibitchu, when it comes to you. Ksiv va'at. He says, you're supposed to pounce on you and do whatever we need to do. So what was the next part of the message? Take Mordechai, walk him through the street and say, right, what's going on here? What's happening is that Achashverosh thinks that Esther is plotting to kill him, right? That's what she thinks is going on. He thinks for sure somebody knows. Nervous, nobody wants to tell him. Why not? Because there must be, he must have a reputation that you do him a favor and he doesn't really care. So what does he say? He says, let me go and repay Mordechai for doing me a favor. What was that favor? He was the one who gave me the inside information when Bigsam and Sarah were trying to kill me. And I'm going to make a deal. This is the whole punchline. And everyone's going to say, why is this Jew getting all this covet? And they're going to say, oh, because he said, so this is much better than putting up a sign, say, X amount of war reward for someone that, no, this is the best thing you could possibly do. So Achashverosh is assuming that the next day, all of a sudden, he's going to get a whole bunch of leads. And like this, he's going to be able to foil whatever plot was going against. Right? This is Pashup Shad in the story. So the Gemara says, as Haman and Mordechai are passing through the street where Haman lived, so Haman's daughter was on top, she's on the roof and she's cheering on and she sees what's going on. So again, she's looking from far, but she assumes for sure that the person that's riding is her father. Mordechai must be the one that's leading Haman. So she took the graf shel rei, she took the toilet, she threw it on her father's head. Anyway, she looked down. The Chaz Davur, she saw that it was her father. Naflami Igru La'ara. She jumped from the roof to the ground. The mason, she died. V'hainu D'chsiv. That's Pshat in the Pasuk that says Vayoshev Mordechai El Shar HaMelech. That Mordechai returned to the Shar HaMelech. What we need is the next part of the Pasuk. V'haman Nitchaf El Beisai Avel V'chafui Roish. And Haman went back to his house. He was Avel. He was mourning V'chafui Roish. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, why was he Avel V'cheshav L'sakhe V'tanisoy? Mordechai went back to Sakhe V'tanisoy. V'Haman Nitchav V'beisoy. Avel V'chafui Roish. Avel Abitoy. He was mourning his daughter. His daughter had just died. V'chafui Roish. And also, he was pretty messy and dirty. Al She'iraloy. Because of what just happened. Before we go weiter, the Chassam Sofer also in one of his drushes says a Dover Nifla. So Mordechai just had this unbelievable Yeshua. He was literally taken through the main street. He's wearing the Levush Malchus. He's driving the Sus Asher Rochav Olav HaMelech. And he has Haman, no less, yelling and screaming, Kocha Yeyos Eloish Asher HaMelech Chafetz Bikarim. But then it came to an end, right? This was just this one-time event that Achashverosh is doing, hoping that this is going to bring some inside information as to maybe someone's going to hit the plot. But what does Mordechai do as soon as this was finished? Vayoshav Mordechai El Shar HaMelech. He went back to the Shar HaMelech. Say Chazal. What does it mean he went back to the Shar HaMelech? He went back to doing what he had been doing all along. And that is Sheshav L'Sakai L'Tanisai. He went back to fast. So the Chassam Sofer says a Dover Nifla. Says the Chassam Sofer that you see from here, that people sometimes make a mistake. He says there are people that they're davening for a Yeshua, whatever the Yeshua might be, and then they get a little bit of a Yeshua. And sometimes when a little bit of a Yeshua comes, they take their eye off the ball because they think, look at this, the Yeshua is coming, Baruch Hashem, everything is heading in a good direction. I don't have to fast anymore. I don't have to daven anymore. I don't have to learn so stark anymore. He said, what did Mordechai do? Mordechai went back immediately to Sakhir Tanisoy. And the Chassam Sofer says, if you think about it, somebody else in that position might have said, perfect. Everything is turning now. I have to go back to where I was. Baruch Hashem, let me make a Birchas Hodah. This is to the contrary. Clearly, everything is changing. But the Chasam Sofer says, not always the way it is. And one of the lessons that we learn from Mardechai is that even though he had this unbelievable Yeshua, Mikan Shetzorich Adam Linoy, Im Yechas Vesholim Betzorah, V'acha Kach Nitzo Ktsas Mimenu, Afal Pikein, Lo Yoniach Melehispalo, Elo Yasek Barishoino. He should continue davening the way he was davening the whole time. Fascinating. Short comment. But that's what the Chasam Sofer says. So Haman goes home. Vayesaper Haman Lezeresh Ishtoi Ulecholei Havam. And he starts telling Zeresh Ishtoi Ulecholei Havam everything that had happened and, you know, the way it's playing out. Iskola Shekaro Vayomer Lechacham of Zeresh Ishtoi. So what did his wise people tell him, and his wife Zeresh, Mizera Yehuda Mardechai. If Mardechai is Mizera Yehudim, and he was, the Gemara will explain what that means, Asherachi Loiso, Linpo Lefanov, Leisucha Lekinof, Lepi Lefanov, then you're in big trouble. This is not going to end well. So the Gemara says, number one, it says, Vayisaper Hamad Lezeresh Ishtoi Ulecholoi Hava. So he's talking to Zeresh, Ayhava, and his friends. And then it says, right afterwards, Vayomru Loi Chachomov, Vizera Ishtoi. So Karu Loi Havav, and then Karu Loi Chachamav. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said that we learn from here that Kalo Oimed Var Chachma. If somebody says something smart, Afilu B'Umay Sa'olam, Nikra Chacham is called a Chacham. These people, his friends, actually gave him decent advice. And because they told him something intelligent, they went from simply being a Havav, now they're referred to as Chachamav. So what did they say? Im Mizera HaYehudim Mardechai. So what's the obvious question? What do you mean? Im Mizera HaYehudim. What's the other choice? Of course he was Mizera HaYehudim. Zok Gemara Amrle, they told him, Im Mishai Shvatim Klasi, if Mardechai would be from some other Shevet Yachlosle. But here's the problem. Im Mishevet Yehuda Ubinyamin, Vefraim Umenashe, if he's from anywhere of those Shvatim, La Yachlosle, you have no chance. Choice. Says the Gemara, Yehuda, how do you know Yehuda? Meaning, somehow, if someone's from Shevet Yehuda, it's going to be much harder to defeat him. The pasuk says, Yotcha ba'irif ayvecha, referring to Yehuda. And Enoch and the other ones, Binyamin, Ephraim, Umenashe, the chsib hu lefnei Ephraim, Ubinyamin, Umenashe, Oiras, Gvura Sechet. There's a special Gvura when it comes to the Shvatim. Now, who is Mordechai from? He was an Ishyamini. According to some, he was also an Ish Yehudi from Shevet Yehuda. But either way, he checks off these boxes. And because of that, that's what they told him. They said, Mordechai, forget about the fact that he's a Yehudi. That we know. But in Mizera HaYehudim, if he's from specific tribes within the Jewish nation, then he's going to be impossible to take down. And what did they say? Ki Nafal Tipa Ulefana. So that's a double Lashon. Not just going to fall. But Nafal Tipa. Darish Rabbi Dabar Eloi. Shnei Tefilas La'olam. Why this double Lashon? They told him, Umazum Meshula La'afar Umazshula Kechavim. The Jews are compared to Afar. They're compared to dirt, and they're also compared to the Kaichavet, right? Sometimes the Pasuk will say the Jews will be so plentiful, literally like all the Afar in the world. And then sometimes they'll be so plentiful, they'll be Kaichve Hashamayim L'Roi. Incidentally, there's more Kaichavim than there is Afar in the world. But that's a whole other story. But sometimes they're Meshula L'Afar, and sometimes they're Meshula L'Kaichavim. Kishem Yardin, they told him, they Yardin Ad Afar. Ukishem Oilim, the Oilim Ad L'Kaichavim. That's really the story of the Jew. Sometimes the Jew is B'Kaichavim, and sometimes everything is gewaldig, but more often than not in Golas, it's just the opposite. Ukshein Yarden, Hein Yarden Ad Ofer. And that's what they said. They said that if Mordechai is going to have a nitzochin against you, you're not just going to fall, but it's going to be to the contrary. They're going to be Oilin Ad L'Kaychavim, which means you're going to be Nafal Tipal. It's going to be a double Lashon. So as they're having this conversation, all of a sudden, Visarisi Amelech Higiu, Vayavnilu. They come and they say, Haman, you have an appointment. You're being requested that you come to the banquet that Esther and Achashverosh prepared, right? This was Esther's request a day earlier at the party. He says, Machr, tomorrow, I wanted to be another party. So, Melamed Shevu Bevahala, they brought in Bevahala, which was a bad thing because Haman needed a shower, right? He needed to, you know, freshen up a little bit. He just had a rough couple of hours, but they didn't give him an opportunity to do that. So, Haman shows up and then Achashverosh again turns to Esther and says, Esther, tell me, what's this all about? Why are you asking me to do this? And now Esther is going to start telling Achashverosh, Slikta fear in hearts, who exactly she is, which is something Achashverosh so badly wanted to know, but was never able to find out, and everything is going to come together. So she tells Achashverosh, Kinim karnu aniva ami. I'm from a nation that's been sold. And ki eina tsar shoyve ben Ezek HaMelech. Amr loy, Esther tells Achashverosh, tsar ze inoy shoyve ben Ezek HaMelech. You don't want Haman. This tsar, this person, he's not Shava. Ikniba bevashti v'kotha. Because you remember, he's Mamuchan. He's the one who gave you the advice, who whispered into your ear, Dekel Vashni. You know why? because he was jealous. He was jealous of the fact that you were married to Vashti, who was one of the Yefefiyah Shabbailah. And that's why he wanted her dead. Hashna ikni bididi. And now he's jealous of me. Umibayla miktali. He wants to kill me. He wants to do to me exactly what he wanted to do to Vashti. Vayomer melech achashverosh. Vayomer leester amalkus. It's interesting. The pasuk says, Vayomer melech achashverosh. And then again, Vayomer. So afraid to Gemara. Vayomer, Vayomer. Why say Vayomer twice? Amra, Bavora, Bavosa, Betchila, Yidei Torgamon. Because up until that point, Achashverosh didn't want to talk straight to Esther. He was talking to Esther through a Torgamon, through a translator. Why? He didn't know who Esther was. So even though Esther just married him, I mean, at the end of the day, she's an Eshes Chavar Kechavar, right? But it didn't matter. Lamaisi didn't know her Yichus, so he didn't talk to her straight. But now, even the Amr Levi, the Beishal Kosin, but at this party, when she revealed herself, she said, I'm a Jew, I'm a descendant from Shaul HaMelech. Achashverosh actually thought that was cool. Wow, look at that. I'm married to an Enochel from a great king, albeit a Jewish king. Oh, Miyad, Vayoymer LeEsther Amalka. Now all of a sudden he's talking to Vatoymer Esther Ish Tsar, Vayoyev, Haman Haraza. Right, Miyuzev Ezehu. So she says, Ish Tsar, Oyev, Haman. This is a long-winded answer to a pretty straightforward question. Could have just said Haman. I'm a Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar Malami, you see, Shaisa Mach Veklapi Achashverosh. She started pointing towards Achashverosh, which, by the way, this is one of the hardest Gemaras to understand. Can you imagine Esther would have pointed towards Achashverosh? You're the person I want dead. Doesn't feel like the story would have ended the way it did, but you have to understand. But the Gemara says, Malami Shahisa Mach Veklapi Achashverosh. She was about to point towards Achashverosh. Uba Malach, and a king said, and literally pushed her hand, the Satayada Klapi Haman, towards Haman. Vahamelech kom bechamasne. So the king got up and was very, very upset. And he goes out into the Ginas Habisa and goes into the garden of the castle. And then it says, Vahamelech shav Ginas Habisa. He returns. So the Gemara says, Makish Shivilabi Kimo. We compare the state of Achashverosh when he returned to the castle to the state of Achashverosh when he left the castle. Just like when he was leaving, he was very, very angry, right? He was just angry with everything that he just heard. He's all confused now. When he came back, he was also angry. So what does this all mean? Because he goes outside, and there were a bunch of Malachi Asharis, right? They're dressed up like workers, but really, they're Malachim, literally. And they look like gardeners, and they're planting trees, and they're taking trees out. Who hired you, right? Who's paying you? What do you mean? Haman told us to come. He told us to get rid of the entire garden. So he said, oy vey, this Haman, he's really trying to take me down. He goes back inside. He's angry now. And he sees Haman is on Esther's bed. Nofel freit gemar nofel mi boyle. Nofel sounds like he's falling right now. Nofel. It sounds like whatever happened in the past tense. Amar Abelazar. Malami shabam malach. I don't know if it was Gavriel again, but a malach came vehipilo yaleo, and he literally took Haman, threw her on Esther. Amar vaimi besa vaimi bara. So to his good fortune, he walks back in, and all of a sudden, it looks like Haman is literally lichpeish as hamalke imi babayis, and this put it all together, and he said, "That's it. Obviously, Haman is not somebody that I want." Vayomer Hamelech hagam lichpeish as hamalke imi babayis, and as this is all happening, there's a fellow who's zocher latoiv, and his name is Charvoina. So Charvoina turns to Achashverosh, and Vayomer Charvoina, and Charvoina tells him, he says, "Hine." Gam hine ha'etz asha asa haman la mardchai asha diber teva la melech oime b'veis haman gavayu chamisha ma'ama. He says, by the way, you want to know else what Haman was going to do? He was going to hang Mardchai. Who's Mardchai? Asha diber teva la melech. That person who had spoke good about you. Vayomer ha'melech. He didn't even hesitate. It's in the same pasuk. You don't even have to wait until this next pasuk. Tilo'u olav. Go ahead and hang him. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Laza. Af charvoina. Even though he's Zachar Latayv, but Rosh Ba'isa Eitzahaya. You can tell that he was complicit. How do you know that? Because he had a lot of information. He says, oh, by the way, there's a gallo. It's Gavaya Chamisha Mama. You know, it's Gavaya Chamisha Mama. He had like two, he knew the specs. He knew exactly when it was built, who imported it, exactly how it was made. How does he have all this information? Must be he was in on it. So said the Gemara, Charvoina must have been involved by Isa Eitz. So why did he suddenly backtrack? Oh, this is easy. Because Kimich Rosh, this guy Matzasa, he saw it wasn't working yet. He realized he's about to go down on the wrong side of history. So Miyad Barach, immediately he left, meaning he changed uniforms. He went on to the other team. That's in the pasuk that says v'yashlech olav aleyachmo miyada barayach yivrach. This precedent for this pasuk in Iyev that when the enemy realizes that it's not working out, so he quickly tries to get onto the other side. And after all this happened, after Haman was hung, v'chamas hamelech shachacha, says the Gemara, shtei shechicha yisalalu lamali. Shachachas. Again, a double lashon. So what's the two lashonis? The Gemara says, Achas Malchus Shaloylam, the Achas Alachashverish. Another place where Hamelech, the Gemara sends, means the Melech, Malchay Amlochim. So Achashverish calmed down, and in the beginning of the Gemara, Balayla, who noted the Shnas Hamelech, now it was already V'chamas Hamelech, Shachachav. Amrila, some say, Achas Shal Esther, V'Achas Shal Vashti, that Hama, that Achashverish was able to calm down from the anger that he had for what was going on with Esther, and also for what Haman, I mean, he took a little bit of revenge when had done to Vashti. The kula nasan the ish khalifa is smallis ula binyamin nasan khamish khalifa. So the Gemara is going to digress a little bit. There's going to clearly be digression now, but it's going to be for a purpose. So we're discussing the psukim where Yosef is talking to his brothers. They don't know he's Yosef. He knows he's them. And he is being extra nice to Binyamin. L'chula nasan l'ish chalifas. Everybody got chalifas. U'le Binyamin nasan chamish chalifas. Binyamin got five chalifas. So the Gemara says, Efshe dovesh and estarba oisit tzadik. Yikosho boy. How could Yosef have done this? I mean, at the end of the day, Yosef himself, the whole story happened because of favoritism, because Yaakov gave him the Ksoinus Pasim and not the other brothers. And something that he himself was a victim of, you would think, is not something that he would repeat. How do you know he's a victim of it? Because of two slons worth of wool, that Yaakov added to Yosef's clothing over the other brothers, and the whole story ended up happening with the Yidden were in Mitzrayim. What Yosef was doing to Binyamin was he wanted to give him a remesh. That Binyamin would have a son, not a son, a grandson, Mordechai, who's from Binyamin. He's an Ish Yamini, Sheyetzim, Lifnei HaMelech. He was going to be in front of the king, Bechamisha Levushei Malchus, with five Levushei Malchus. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Umordechai Yotzim, Lifnei HaMelech, Lifnei HaMelech, Belevush Malchus, Tcheles, Vechur, Vaterezov, Gedoyla, Vesachrich, Butz, Vargamon. Those are five different things, and that's what the remesh was. So we just mentioned now the encounter between Binyamin and Yosef, the brothers. So we'll talk a little bit about it. So Yosef, he fell and he cried on the necks of Binyamin. So the Gemara says, the necks of Binyamin, Kamet Savar and Havalei the Binyamin. How many necks did he have? Amar Rabbi Lazar said, right, rhetorically, a person has one neck. Bach al Shnei Mikdashim. He was crying for the two Batei Mikdashim, Shasidim Lias Bechelkish al Binyamin, Vasidim Lichar. We know the Beis HaMikdash is partially Bechelkish al Yehuda, who partially Bechelkish al Binyamin, and the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as the neck, for whatever reason, and he was crying for the two Batei Mikdashim. That's the remez of the two necks. Binyamin Bachal Tzavar. Binyamin cried on the one neck of Yosef. Bachal Mishkan Shiloh was crying for Mishkan Shiloh. She'asal liyas bechelkei shal Yosef asal lichar. Because Mishkan Shiloh is bechelkei shal Yosef. So Binyamin and Yosef had something else in common, in that Binyamin had the Batei Mikdashim in his chelik. Yosef didn't have the Batei Mikdashim, but he had Shiloh. And Shiloh stood for 369 years. We learned about this not long ago. So it was a very, very big deal. And Churban Shiloh was also a big deal. Right? One of the chapters in history that have gotten completely lost is the whole story of Shiloh. Again, it's literally 369 years. So just like Yosef is crying al Tzavari Binyamin over the two Batei Mikdashim, Binyamin is crying on the Tzavar of Yosef for the one Mishkan Shiloh. Hinei Nechem Royos, Ve'enei Achi Binyamin. What did he mean? Amar Abelazah, Amar Lam, Kishem She'im B'libi Al Binyamin Achi Shloihah B'mchirasi. He told the brothers, just like I have no tainas on Binyamin, because Binyamin had nothing to do with me being sold, Kach Im B'libi Aleichem, so to have no tainas on you either. Ki Pi HaMedaber Aleichem, what did that mean? Kefi Kein Libi. Just like my mouth is, so is my lev. Meaning, he told them that I'm Piva Libi Shofen. Right, I'm not echad b'leiv, echad b'peh. Whatever I tell you, that's what I mean. U'la'avim sholach kizois. Then Yosef sent gifts to his father. Yaakov, Yosef's father, was about to come to Mitzrayim, but in the interim, he sent them like this. Asarach ha-moirim, 10 donkeys. Noisim, they were laden, mituv Mitzrayim. So what was, you hear that expression, kol tuv Mitzrayim, right? It's a pasuk in the Torah. What was the tuv Mitzrayim? Mayim mituv Mitzrayim, Amar Rabbi Yamin bar Yefes, Amar Rabbi Loza, Sholach lo yayin yashan. He sent him aged wine, Shedaz zekenim noicha himenu, which is something that's good, specifically for zekenim, for people that are older. And Yaakov was older, and as a result, he sent him this very, very good wine. Vayelchu gam echad, vayiplu lefanav. And then the brothers bowed down to Yosef. Amar Rabbi Yamin bar Yefes, Amar Rabbi Loza. Hayru dam ishla, people mean when they say talo, Beidne sagidle, that even a fox, beidne, when it's his moment, when he has his 15 minutes of fame, right, when he has his time, sagidle, you should bow down to him. I mean, even though the fox is not the the king of the animal kingdom, but at the same time, Tala, a fox, bit Nisagile. So the Gemara says, Tala, my betzirus me'achve. Why is Yosef the Tala? Why is he the fox? Yosef the fox? Mechatesa. Right, we're presupposing that Yosef really doesn't deserve to be bowed down to, because he's the fox. Afal pikein, o Tala bit Nisagile. One made him into the fox. Eli yitma hochi yitma. Vayishtachavud Yisrael al roish hamito. Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu, he bowed down to Yosef. Oh, Amar Rabbi Yamin by Yefes, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Talib Idna Sagile. That's already a big deal. Yaakov should bow down to his son. That's Talib Idna. Vayinachim Moisam, Vayidaber Alibam. So again, we're still talking about Yosef and the brothers, and the brothers are very afraid of Yosef. Amar Rabbi Yamin by Yefes, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Malame, Shamalem Dvarim Shemeskablan Alalev. He told them Dvarim Hameskablan Alalev. He said, Amasar Neres, Layachl Chabiz Nerechim, Adach 10 Neres couldn't extinguish one Ner. Meaning, you had 10 brothers that started up with me one, and you couldn't take me down. Ner Echad Heichyachl Chabiz Asar Neres, how would one Ner be able to extinguish 10 Neres? Either way, returning to the Purim story, just for a few lines. La Yehudim Hoysa Oira Vesimcha Vesasam Vikar. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, one of the most famous Gemaras in the Masechta. Oira Zu Taira. So what does it mean, La Yehuda Hoysa Oira? They had Taira. The Chenu Oimer, how do you know Oira is Taira? It's a pasuk. Ki Ner Mitzvah Vetaira. Simcha Zayantef. V'cheinu oimer, v'samachta b'chagecha. Sasein zumila, v'cheinu oimer, sasa noichi alim rasecha. V'yikar elu tfilin, v'cheinu oimer, v'ro kol amei ha'aretz, kishem Hashem nikra olecha, v'yaru mimecha, that the nations of the world are going to see that the name of Hashem is on you, and they will be afraid of you. V'tanya, we learn to the Brayso, Rabbi Elazar Gadol oimer, Rabbi Elazar Gadol explain, when is this Elul Tfilim Shabbarosh? When the Yid wears Tfilim Shabbarosh. So after the Purim story, La Yehudim Haysa Oira, V'Simcha, V'Sasam V'Yikar. Rashi says, why these four things? Says Rashi, Shegazar Aleihem Haman. Because all four of these things Haman had made a gzeira on. Haman said no Torah, he said no Yontif, he said no Mila, and he said no tefillin. So usually we think of the Purim story, Haman just wanted to kill the Jews. Right, the Yevanim, they started getting all detailed and started studying Jewish culture, and they didn't want the Jews to practice like this, they wanted the Jews to assimilate like that. Haman didn't care, Haman was looking for blood. But says Rashi that Haman was geyser on these four things. Haman was geyser on Torah, on Yontif, on Mila, and on tefillin, and that's why after the Yidden had Yeshua, the Yidden had Oira, Simcha, Sas, and Vikar, they got these four things back. So you do it that the Sfarim say that Oira is Taira. So why not just say, Lahuda Maisa, Taira, Simcha is Yantif, Lahuda Maisa, Yantif, Sasin is Mila, Yikar is Tfilin. It should have said, Lahuda Maisa, Taira, Yantif, Mila, and Tfilin, says the Vel, because really the Yidden had the mitzvahs. But the Torah that they had wasn't an Oira. And the Yontif that they had wasn't a true Simcha. And the Mila that they had wasn't Sasain. And the Tfilin that they had wasn't the Yikar, Elu Tfilin Shabirosh. But after the story, it was like, Yehudim Aysa Oira V'Simcha V'Sasain V'Yikar. A little more Gemara. V'Es Pasha Andasa Aseres B'nei Haman. Amar Avada B'nei Yofa. Aseres B'nei Haman V'Aseres. Tzarech Lam Nimru V'Nishin V'Achas. When you read Aseres B'nei Haman and the word Aseres, you have to say B'Nishin V'Achas. You have to say it in one breath. My time, what's the reason? Because Kulu Bahadi Adadi Nafku Nishma Sayyid. Because when they died, they all died at the same second. And therefore, we say it at the same second. Amar Yoichan Vav De Vaizasa. The Vav of the word Vaizasa. It has to be a big vav. Right? We spoke about the small tough shin zayin. But you also have to have a big vav. What's the reason? And before, what's the reason? How big? Can my radio deliver us? Interesting mashal. My radio is a pole. Livrois is a river. It was the name of a river that apparently the island was familiar with. So like the pole that a person would use if he was riding a boat in this Libros river, that's what this Vav should look like. My time, Kulu B'chad Skifa is that Kifa. The reason is because they were all hanging on one pole. Amar Rab Chanina Bar Papa, Darish Rab Shela, Ishkfar Tamar, Kol HaShiris Kulam Nechtav, is Ariach Agabi Levenu. So if you ever see inside a Sefer Torah, the way the Shir is written, so it's not written in the regular way, but rather there's spaces. And the way it's spaced is you have an Ariach, and Ariach literally means a half brick. It's Agabi Levenu, it's on top of a whole brick. Ulevenu Agabi Bariach. And so it's done, Ariach Agabi Levenu, Levenu Agabi Ariach. Rashi says that the empty space, that's what's referred to as the whole brick, should be double the width of the words, which is the half brick. Either way, that's the way it's supposed to be written. Chutz mishirazu, with the exception of this shira, the Aseres B'nei Haman, Umalchi Knan, and that's a shira that's mentioned in Sefer Yeshua that talks about the 31 kings of Knan that were killed. Shariach Agabi Arich, Levena Agabi Levena. That over there, it should just be two lines, right?
the way the Aseres B'nei Haman are written, it should be single file. What's the reason? My time is to take Tekuma L'mapalosan. It's a symbolic thing because it looks a little bit like the Aseres B'nei Haman, they're hanging, and if they would fall, they would have an easy, smooth landing. So we don't want it to be that way. So therefore, we do it in a way where that's not the way that it's going to look. Either way, moving along. So just one ha'ara. At the end of the Purim story, which is where we're holding, so the pasuk says that everybody was told that they'd be able to kill the Jews, and then it was v'nahapechu la'yehudim. If you look in the psukim, the psukim use words to describe the way that the Ummah Yisraelim perceived the Jews that I don't think you find anywhere else in Jewish history. The pasuk says, "Uvechol medino medino, uvechol ir ve'ir, makoim ashentvar amelech v'dasei magia, simcha v'sasen la Yehudim." Mishta v'yante. Here's the punchline: the rabbi me'ama aretz misyahedim, and there were people from all over the world that were misyahedim. They were miskayrim. Rashi says, "Ki nofal pachad Yehudim aleh," because they were poshut afraid of the Jews. The reaction of the Ummah Yisraelim to the Purim story is that everybody was afraid of the Yehudim. Several psukim later, v'chasari ha-medinois, v'achashtarpenim v'ha-pachos, v'oisei ha-melach ha-shel ha-melech, menasen es ha-Yehudim, ki nofal pachad Mordechai alim. They were afraid of Mordechai. Now you can understand on a very posh level why they would have been afraid. At the end of the day, they were given this edict by the king that there's one day where they can go ahead and they could do whatever they wanted them. But there seems to be some emphasis over here on the fact that there was a pachad. There was this deep-seated fear that the Amei Ha'aretz all over the world suddenly have for the Yidden. And the truth is, the Yidden have been accused of a lot of things. And certainly, they're... But pachad? That the Ummah Yisraelim should have pachad? Covid, respect of a fear? That seems to be a little bit out of the ordinary. And where does this fear come? The truth is, the Marsha, he doesn't ask it the im timer of Yesh Leimar, but in the Marsha's narrative on the Gemara, Lahuda Maisa Oira Vesimcha Vesasa Vikari, throws in one line. He says, the Gemara says, Lahuda Maisa Oira Zutaira, Vesasa in is Mila, Simcha is Mishta, and what's for Yakar? Elu Tfilim Sheberosh. And what does Yakar have to do with Tfilim Sheberosh? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk. It says, Vero Kalami Yaretz, Kishema Shem Nikra Alecha, the Yaru Mimecha. Says the Halega Marsha, that being that the Gemara says, and what's Yikar? It's Tefillin Sheberosh. And what happens when a person has the Yikar of the Tefillin Sheberosh? It's the Ro Kalami Yaretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, the Yaru Mimecha. All of a sudden, there's going to be Yira. So that's what happened. All of a sudden, V'rami Ma'ami Yaretz Misyadim Kinof Al Pachad Ayehudim Aleihem. It was pachad. Where did the pachad come from? It came from the tefillin, like the pasuk that the Gemara quoted. V'ro kaleami aretz kinshem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha. But it could be, you could say, a little bit of a deeper pshat, just to understand this inyan a little bit better, just to talk a little bit about the Purim story, as, believe it or not, we're coming to an end of the Gemara's narrative of the Megillas Esther. And that is, we know that Haman wasn't just another enemy that had stood up against the Jews and wanted to somehow oversee a final solution. But rather, Haman was a descendant of Amalek. Haman was a descendant of Agag, who Shaul had an opportunity to kill and didn't kill, but who himself was a descendant of Amalek. So really, Haman was a ben acha ben acha ben from Amalek. That's why we read Parsha Zohar right before Purim. Parsha Zohar is Zohar Eis Acha Asa Lucha Amalek B'derech B'tzeischa Mimitzrayim. And the reason we read Parsha Zohar is because we have a mitzvah to remember Amalek right around the time of the Purim story, simply because there's a connection. Because the Purim story really was a kiyum of Machay Timche Zecher Amalek Mitachas HaShemayim. Because Haman was a descendant of Amalek. So the story of Haman isn't just a random story, but rather Haman is a descendant of Amalek, and in the defeat of Haman, there was a kiyum on some level of the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. The truth is, this is something that's very, very clear in many, many different places. The pasuk says that after it was v'napachu la Yehudim, so the Yidden were given one day Yud Gimel, Adar, Zman, Kilo, Lakoil, where they were able to do whatever they wanted to do with the Chevra, specifically in Shushan Abira. And the Pasuk says, Vayemahu, Ba Mispar HaHarugim B'Shushan Abira Lefnei HaMelech. Vayemah HaMelech Esther HaMalko, the king told Esther HaMalko, B'Shushan Abira Horgu HaYehudim, Va'abed Chamesh Me'oisish. They killed 500 people. Listen to what the Targum says. Va'amar Malko LeEsther Malkoso, B'Shushan Biranto, also known as Shushan Abira, Getilu Yehudoyen, the Jews killed, the uvadu chamesh ma'ah guvrayu rufilin de mizaris amalek. They didn't just kill 500 people. They killed 500 people from Amalek. The pasuk says a little bit later. By yom shloisha asal achodesh, it says that they went ahead. Esther asked for another day, and they got another day, and then on that next day, they killed 75,000 people. And the pasuk says, by yom klas asra liyerech adar. Have a ketoil v'zaris de Amalek uniyacha have a liyisrael again Amalek v'yehudin de bishushan is kanchul l'sheitzah yos bnoi de Amalek. Again, in the Targum, throughout the night, wherever it says that somebody was killed, who was that person that was killed? He was a descendant of Amalek. It's clear from the Targum that the Yidden weren't just going ahead and randomly killing people, but rather the Nitzachin Keneged Haman and the Nitzachin of Shushan Abira and then the larger city of Shushan, it all was a kiyum of Mochay Timche Zecher Amalek Mitachas Hashavayim Leitishkoch. They were literally hand-picking the people that they were killing. And what all those people had in common, says the Targum again and again and again and again, they were all descendants from Amalek. And it's based on this idea that Haman isn't just an enemy, he's from Amalek, and really the Nitzachon Keneged Haman was a Nitzachon Keneged Amalek. You know, Chazal say many, many times that what's the signature of the end of days, it's Mechias Amalek. Right, right now it's Kiyad al Keska. The pasuk says, a pasuk in Beshalach, Vayomer Kiyad al Keska Milchama Lashem Ba Amalek. Ka. Right now, as long as Amalek is in this world, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is Ka. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not complete. Then the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be complete. And it's not going to be Ka, but rather what is it going to be? It's going to be Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's going to be the name Havaya. Mechias HaMolek is something that's going to happen when? It's going to happen in the end of days. After the Purim story, Mashiach didn't come. It wasn't the end of days. But at the same time, there was a moment of Mochay Timche Zecher Amalek. And for a moment, it wasn't Kiyod al Keska, but for a moment, there was a feeling of Havaya. Because this was a defeat, not just of an enemy. It was a defeat of Amalek. Every single person they're going after, who are they fighting? They're fighting against Amalek, like the Targum says. Amalek, Amalek, Amalek. So what happened? There was a moment of Ahoye Bayoimahu Yi Hashem Echad Ushmayachad. What did they realize? They realized how everything came together. Because that's what's going to happen when it's going to be Ahoye Bayoimahu Yi Hashem Echad Ushmayachad, when the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be complete, when it's going to be not Ka, when it's going to be Yud Kei Vav Kei. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen is we're going to realize that everything came from the Eibishter. We're going to realize that everything is good. And that's exactly what happened after the Purim story. They were able to see how everything came together, because that's a signature feature of La'asa Lavay. And that's exactly what played out. So maybe on a deeper level, that's what's happening. You know, the Svar Makdoshim say, Vayoymer Ki Yod Al Keis Ka. Yod is Yud Dalet. Ka is Yud, and then Hey. And this is a remez to the fact that the Megillah is read on Yud Dalet and on Tes Vav. Ki Yod, because again, it's Amalek. That's what's going on here. It's Ki Yod al Keska. But this was a one moment in history where we actually defeated Amalek. We won. We beat Amalek momentarily. But we beat Amalek. And because we beat Amalek, so now all of a sudden, what the world is going to look like when Amalek is defeated, we start feeling a little bit. And that's why all of a sudden it's an idea of all the tsaris start making sense, right? How many times in history can you look at a story of what everything makes sense? Not a lot. Here it happened. Because now is they defeated Amalek, said Hashem Havaya on some level is complete. So it's Hashem Echad Ushmayachad. What happens when it's Hashem Echad Ushmayachad? Now you make the bracha Baruch HaToy V'Ameitiv, even on that thing that you were previously making Baruch Dayan Emes. Just to take it one level further. And that is, we say Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach,
So what does it mean when you say Yehei Shmei Rabbi Mevarach? So of course, Tosfos and Masechtas Brachos Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. So he brings two pshatim. One of the pshatim that Tosfos brings is from the Machzav Vitri. The Machzav Vitri said that what does it mean Yehei Shmei Rabbi Mevarach? Machzav Vitri said that it means as follows: we daven that Yehei Shmei Rabbah, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Rabbah. Or more specifically, Shmei is Shin Mem Yud Hei. Yehei Shem Ka Rabbah. Reading from Tosfos. Shezu Tfilah She'anu Mespalelin, She'imale Shmai, Kedichsev, Kiyad Al Keis Ka. Shelo Yehei Shmai Shalem, V'kisei Shalem, Ad She'imachi Zare Shalamalek. Uperushay Kach, Yehei Shmei, Shem Ka Rabbah, Kaloi Ma She'anu Mespalelin, She'ei Shmai Gadol, V'shalem, U'mevoyrach, La'olam. And that's what we're trying to do. So said the Machzavichi, what does it mean, Yehei Shmei Rabbah? It's a tefillah that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be complete. You know, there's a very, very well-known Gemara in Masechtas Yuma, Daf Samech Tesam of this, a classic Gemara. As we'll see, this ties in very, very much to the Purim story. That part is not well known. The Gemara said, "I'm Rabbi Shulman Levi. Lama Nikrishman Anche Knesa Agdaila." Very quickly, why would the Anche Knesa Agdaila called Anche Knesa Agdaila? So the Gemara says, "Shechsir Atar Liyoshna," because they brought the crown of Hakadosh Baruch Hu Liyoshna back to where it had once been. Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, when he described Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so he described the Kadosh Baruch Hu as a Kela Godoil, Hagibar Vahanaira. But what happened was Yirmiyahu came, and Yirmiyahu saw Churban Beis HaMikdash. He saw Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzradan entered the Beis HaMikdash. He said, Nochrim Mekarkim Beichale, Ayin Neiroisav. Where's Neiroisav? So Yirmiyahu said, I'm not saying the word Neiro anymore. And that's why there's a Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, this is hard to believe, but it's Perek Lamed Beis, it's Pasuk Yud Ches. He refers to Kadosh Baruch Hu as a Kela Godoil Hagibar. And he left out the word Neiro, because Yirmiyahu said, I don't see Neiro right now. I know Hashem's Neiro, but and because I don't see Neira, I'm not saying Neira. Then Daniel came, and Daniel saw Golas Bavel. He saw Nachr Meshtab in Bavanov. He said, Ayek Gvuroisov. He said, where's the Gvur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Like Omar Gibar. He didn't say Gibar. And that's why Daniel said, Ona Hashem, Hakel, HaGodol VaHaNeira. But he left out the word Gibar. So Yirmiyahu didn't say Neira. And Daniel didn't say Gibar. On some level, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not being felt the way it's supposed to be. Also, Inu, the Anshik Nesak Doyle Kei, V'amru, and they said, you want to know where the Gvura and where the Neir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is? Adarabo. Zuhi Gvuras Gvurasoi. Shekoivish Es Yitzroi. Imagine that you would see someone that you don't like, and this person would come into your house, he would ransack him, and you would have the ability to take him out in a nanosecond before he could say Aleichem Shalom. So, and wouldn't you do it? You probably would. If you can show restraint at that point, that's the greatest gvur that a person could possibly have. So he says, you want to know what the gvur is? Zui gvuras gvuras. The fact that he allowed it to happen. And he said, Daniel, you want to know, where's the neira? Where's the zui meiroi? Shal kodesh baruch. Hei chum ha'achas yichayil l'skayim bein ha'umais. So they went ahead and they said, say agadol hagibiv ha'neira. And that's what they called anche knesa agdoilo. Because kaviyochel, they were machzer ha'tor liyoshna. Says the marsha in Chedushi, that's a great maramaka. When did this happen? So the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila are living in a world, right? So the Baal Tefillah gets up, he's davening Shmai Nesri, he says, Hakel, HaGodol, no Gibar Naira. And you can imagine the krechts in the audience. They don't feel Gibar. We have a God, Ayeg Vurasai. They don't feel Naira. Ayin Neiroisav, and Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, they make a takana, no. When we say Shmai Nesri, it's going to be a Godoil, it's going to be a Gibar Van Neiro. Because we have a whole different perspective now. You want to know where the Gvur is? Zuhi Gvuras Gvurasai. And you want to know where the Neir is? This is Neir and Neiroisav. When did this all happen? Listen to the Marsha. Says the Marsha, Adda Asu Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. Shahayu Gam Besoif Shivim Shana Shagolas Bavel. Vero Ba'oisam Ashanim Shani Tzoyli Yisrael Mikam Tzaris. They saw the Jews were saved during that time from many Tzaris. Kigoin. Maisa Haman, Sheni Tzoylu Ayyidei Mordechai, Shehoya Michlal Knesset HaGdoilo, Chazru Loimar, and now they realize, Harei B'chol Ashanim Alolu, Sheherich Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Risham, Zuhi Gvur Asai, V'chulu V'chulu, and that's when they went back. So when did the Yidden start saying Gibar Neira again? Here's the rest of the story. That Gemara in Yuma Samech Tesam at Beis, it links to Megillah Daf Tezayin. It's when La Yehuda Maisa Oyer V'simcha V'sasim V'kar, it's when it all came together. It's when it was Estimen HaTorim Inayin Shenem V'Noichi Asim. They realized we made a mistake. They realized Hashem didn't forget about us. Hashem's a gibbeis. No, he was waiting for the right opportunity. But zui gvurasei, zui neirasei. So I think this is teeth, but I think this might be emes. So what happened? After the Purim story, it goes back. It's not a just Hakela Godol. It's Hakela Godol. It's Hagibah Vanoira. You know what happened? The shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu became Rabbah.
It was mevorach. It became bigger. It was the machzav vitri is Yehei Shmei Rabbo. The machzav vitri says we daven Yehei Shmei Rabbo, Yehei Shem Kar Rabbo. It's a tefillah for the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it should be Rabbo, it should be Mevoirach. Because as long as there's Amalek, it's Kiyod Al Keska. So what are we davening for? We're davening for Mechias Amalek. And when there's going to be a Melchom Al Hashem, when we're going to take down Amalek, what's going to happen? It's going to be Yehei Shem Kar will be Rabbo, it'll be Mevoirach. That's what happened after the Purim story. At the Purim story, we didn't just defeat an enemy. We took down Amalek. And because we took down Amalek, so what happened? It was Niskayim on some level. It's not Yehei Shmei Rabbo Mevoirach. It's not Yud Kei Vavke. We're not ready for that. But we want something. We want a little battle. The war rages on, but we want a battle. And in that Nitzachon, there was a little bit of a kiyum of what the world will look like when Amalek is taken down. And what happened? Yuma Samach Tassam and Beis happened. We went from Akela Godol to Akela Godol Lagiba Vanoiro. Because it was Neskayim Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach. The Hein Hein Advarama. But either way, this is the Yusoid. The Yusoid is, and this is very, very important in terms of understanding the Purim story on a Svarim HaKadoshim level. And that is not just a fight, it's not just a battle, it's not just of an apachula Yehudim, but this was a Mulchama Lashem ba'amolek midar dar. And the truth is, throughout history, we haven't been successful taking down Amalek. But this was one moment in time where we got a little shmeck. And you know what came from it? A bayasheni, a hadir kiblu b'meach hashverish. That's what came from it. But the point is, that's what the defeat against Amalek is. So just to come full circle, what happens right after the Purim story? The rabbi me'ame ha'aretz misyahadim. And then the pasuk says again that all the people are very menasimus ayehudim. Where do you find that people are afraid of Yehudim? Respect, maybe. But afraid? That's not something you find very often. But you know what I think the pshat is? The pshat is when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, everybody was afraid of the Yidden. Shamu amim your gazon. Chil achaz yoshve poloshes. Oz nivalu alufe edoim. Eile moyav yechazei moyrad. No moygu kol yoshve kenan. Tipal aleim. E masa vafacha. Bigdol zreyacha. Yidmu ka'oven. These are all synonyms. It all means the same thing. The whole world was afraid of the Jews. Everybody was afraid. So when did this all change? When did it come to an end? It's a Rashi and Chumash. It says that Amalek was Asher Karcha Baderech. What does it mean, Asher Karcha Baderech? So Rashi says a few pshatim. Davar Rachazok, the Heilige Rashi, Loshin Kor V'choyim. It's a lashon of cold and hot. Because when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, the Umayis Ha'olam were afraid to start up with the Jews. Amalek chapped with the Yidden. And he showed that the Jews are not so dangerous. They're not someone that you should be so afraid of. They're not something that you have to be so afraid to touch. Moshel said, Rashi, lambati resachas. It was a boiling, boiling hot body of water. But nobody wanted to bathe in it. Bob ben Belial, ain. Chevreman came, the kofats, he jumped, the yara letaicha, even though he got burnt, he called it off for everybody else because he showed that they can be touched. Amalek was the one when nobody wanted to go near the Jews, the psukim that we say in Oz Yasha every day, they went and they got burnt. They taka got burned. But at the same time, Vasa Geshen, when they got burned, what happened was they cooled it off for everybody else. The status quo of the Yidden were, because of all the miracles, because of Maimed Ar Sinai, was Shamu Amin Yur Gazan Chalachas Yeshet Beloshes, until Tipal Aleim, Emasav Afachet, Bigdol Zriyachet, Yid Mukoven. But Amalek got in the way. Amalek is Asher Karchu Baderech. And Amalek is the one that cools off the water for the rest of the world. But what happened after the Purim story? There was an Etzach in Keneged Amalek. If there was a Tzach in Keneged Amalek, so what happens? That coolness of Amalek goes away. When the coolness of Amalek goes away, so now it's Hadra Kushya Leduchta. Now we go back to the status quo. You know what the status quo is? Shamu Amim Yergazon Chil Achas Yoshvei Palashas. After the Purim story, it was V'rabim Me'ame Ha'aretz Misyahadim Kinafal Pachad HaYehudim Aleihem. All the people are menasinus ayehudim kinafal pachad Mordechai Aleh. Why pachad? Where do you ever find pachad in history? The Teretz is the reason there's no pachad is because of Amalek, and because there was a little bit of a nitzachon keneged Amalek, that's why the world was reinstated. It went back to kinafal pachad ayehudim Aleh.